Bible line, hear God's word on Bible line, hear God's truth on Bible line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
To change the truth into a lie is to make the truth of no effect. Truth is very important. Our whole life is based upon truth. Truth is the real world. If you don't know truth, you believe a lie. And many people never know the truth. 18 years of my life, I lived a lie. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I came from. I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know where I was going. I was as lost as a hound dog in the end of a soup bone. And a man brought me the truth. And I sat there and I listened to him, and I finally understood. All I had to do was trust Christ as my Savior. And that night I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I know I have eternal life, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So the rest of my life, I can either keep believing truth or get away from the Bible and believe a lie. And then you'll live a lie because you'll believe it. And you will do whatever you think is right and best for yourself. And you'll remember, Satan wants to keep you from this book. There's a good statement one of the missionaries made the other day, but my father-in-law told me this about 57 years ago. And it's in the flyleaf of his Bible. This Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible. You want to believe the Bible? It's the truth. So when you read and study and memorize Scripture, you're studying truth. Satan wants to get you away from it. And that's where the battle begins, with the Word of God. So, for God doth know, and this is what he told. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open. Remember he said that to her? Did you know he actually told some truth? Because right after this, he made another statement. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then look what God said. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. So Satan told some truth. But God never intended man to know sin. God never intended man to think sin. God never intended man to commit sin. God never wanted man to know the consequences of sin. God wanted to keep us from that. All that evil because of sin. So, yes, now man knows right from wrong. Before, he would have just known right. Now he knows that he's wrong. That's why he knows he's guilty, because he's violated. That's why we run from God, because of sin, the guilt. That's what causes so much of the mental problems that people have. Sin, S-I-N, it takes its toll. So God never meant for us to know evil, the consequences of sin, which we was talking about this morning regarding repentance. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Because God doesn't want you to do that. Remember what he said about Lot? He says, by seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul from day unto day. By seeing and hearing, he vexed his, like putting a curse upon himself. So he didn't live right, didn't do right, didn't protect his family right. A lot of things you don't do right when you're listening and hearing the wrong things. Ephesians 5:12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. See, there's things God doesn't want people to talk about. If you listen to the news today and all the talk shows, they talk about everything. They bring out all the dirt. It's all built on gossip. True? You know I'm telling you the truth. I mean, because we're talking about truth and a lie, right? So it is a shame. We shall be as gods. Well, independent of the true will of God in the spirit of rebellion. You shall be as God. In other words, you want to be your own God. This is not what God intended. But this is how Satan has corrupted what he said. And then people believed it. And look what the results are. They are putting themselves in God's place and becoming judges on God by judging God's words. Hath God said? Is Satan the inventor, the originator of the... He didn't really mean that, society. You see, that he didn't really mean that. I mean, there really is no hell. I mean, there is no such place. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to witness. God's already determined who's going to heaven. You ever heard something like that? That didn't come from the Bible. That comes from the devil. Because it's a devilish teaching. It's not the truth. God doesn't love everybody. Yes, he does. When Christ died, he paid for the sins of the whole world. Are there preachers today that are teaching God didn't really send his son to pay for all the sins of all the world? And it's a lie. He did come to pay for all the sins of everybody. So in Ezekiel in chapter 11 in verse 5, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel." Get this. This is very important. "For I know the things that come into your mind." Every one of them. Does God want us to have wrong thoughts? This is why he never wanted them to eat that fruit off of that tree. Because that was the tree of good and evil. The tree of knowledge. That they could eat it and they'll know something they would have never had to know. They didn't know sin before, and they did not know the consequences of sin, and now they know all of that, and now they're rebellious, and now they want to play God, and they don't need God. Did Satan do a good number on everybody? All he had to do was corrupt the Word of God. Well, now that we have the Scriptures, well, all of that is truth in the, what we use, the King James, but there's a lot of versions out there that are changing them. And they all change it just a little bit here, a little bit there. And so the textual criticism is an attempt by man to correct the King James Bible. Because you see, it undermines the credibility of the Textus Receptus. In other words, the majority text. In other words, the church fathers says what they had, what they believe in, what we have all these centuries later, they want to corrupt that and say, that's not any good. We have some manuscripts that are older and they're better. But they also leave out a lot of stuff and they corrupted the Word of God. And I think we need to be very careful. Instead of just using it, the NIV and other translations, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm afraid so. Based on what they consider to be the older and more reliable manuscripts. Now, when you get down to it, the people have an agenda. And this agenda is they are going to attack Jesus Christ. And of course some other stuff, but it will be on the person and the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit and that which deals with salvation itself. And so he is subtle. He has a false messenger. And he attacks the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Now, when you attack the work of Christ and his person, well, how do they do that? This causes you to have questions about it. Remember, if they can just put in just a little bit now, a little leaven, later on, they can say some more. Because you see, most people took that and they didn't cause an uproar. Now they can add a little bit more leaven later on, take out some more. Put in a little bit more, and after a while, the Bible will have absolutely no power whatsoever. They will corrupt the Word of God. That's why what we have, hold on to it and just keep on using it and don't change from it. Now, they attack the virgin birth of Christ. Now, you'd think they wouldn't do a thing like that because that's everybody knows that. Well, remember in Matthew in chapter 1, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. That means before they lived together, before they had sex together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit of God. So she was a virgin. But they try to say, well, no. She was just a young woman. Just a young woman. Well, she was a young woman. But now, it's just a slight change, but it's recognizable. Now, in the King James, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus was God with us. In the Greek, an unmarried daughter. It's a virgin. And in the Greek, I have been told that there is a specific word that lets you know there is a word for young woman, and there's another word that means that's a virgin. Now, I don't know if that's true. That's what I was told. But I believe it's true because it's a quote from the book of Isaiah in chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, we look in Isaiah 7, 14, and this is where that quote comes from. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. But in the New American Standard Version, it's, behold, a young woman shall conceive. Is that a great sign? A young woman's going to have a baby. Most young women do have babies. So where is the miracle sign of that? A young woman's going to have a baby. Well, in the Hebrew, the word is damsel, maid, virgin. It is not a sign for a young woman to have a child. Most of them do. But when a woman has a child and she's never been touched by a man, she's a virgin. This is a slap at the deity of Jesus Christ. It's just subtle, but it's still there. Now, the deity of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 9:6, we know, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is called the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, whenever you compare the King James with the New American Standard Version on this, when it makes a statement in Ephesians 3:9, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, they got some of it there, and it's still the truth, who created all things. That's true, but there's something missing. Who created all things? Well, God, I think. But doesn't the Bible teach us that it was Jesus Christ? According to Colossians in chapter 1, all things were created by him. In John chapter 1, and without him was not anything made that was made. What's the difference about that and us leaving off Jesus Christ? Well, remember, back there in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, who created the heavens and the earth? God. Jesus Christ is God. So when you remove that, you have changed the deity of Jesus Christ. You've taken that out of the issue. It's not even in the verse. Well, it's just a little thing. No, it's just a little leaven. I mean, it's not big. Just a small thing. Really. The names of Christ and titles of deity missing. And these are how many times that we have Jesus Christ, Lord God, missing out of these two translations alone. Why would you do that? Because they're corrupting the Word of God. And if you say, well, that's not that bad. So when they come out with another translation, they're going to have to change that one enough to make it just a little bit more corrupt. But most people will never see it, never know it, and won't be no harm done. But you're losing the power of truth. And that is critical. In the King James, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Well, in the NIV, it says, he appeared in a body. So what's the big deal? Is there any difference? Who is he? He appeared in a body. Well, you can appear in a body, but we're talking about Jesus Christ was manifested, God, manifested in the flesh. He was born into this world. It gets even back to the virgin birth. All these things are so important, but it's just little changes to corrupt. And all the other stuff says pretty much the same thing. Yes, but there's an agenda. Let me just give it to you this way. Now, let's just pretend. Let's pretend that Donald Trump is the King James Version. And you have the news media coming out all the time with fake news. It doesn't matter what that man says, thinks, does. Nothing matters. He's wrong. Right? He's wrong. It don't matter. They will not be able to find one good thing to say about him. Regardless. That's the way some people feel about the King James. It's an old, outdated, translated book, and we have newer, better versions based upon older and better manuscripts. And I have been despised for using this book. I have people who tried to shame me for using this book. And guess what? I'm still using this book because I believe it's the best translation, and I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to change my mind about it. You know, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the NIV, God's judgment seat. Christ is left out. Judgment seat of God, Christ is left out. See, it's not a big deal until you, later on down the road, when you try to show somebody that, well, it doesn't say the judgment seat of Christ. What's that? The judgment of God. Oh, that must be talking then about the great white throne judgment, when it's a different one altogether. You see, these words are important, but it corrupts. Now, in the King James, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? In Isaiah 14, verse 12. In the NASV, New American Standard Version, the whole verse is gone. Well, there's another part of it. Look what's in there. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You have once laid low the nations, O morning star. Now, you say, that's not a big deal. So what? He's called the son of the morning, the morning star, all the same thing. Well, the real morning star in the book of Revelation 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You don't take the names of Jesus Christ and apply them to Satan. To me, I think that's blasphemy. When you accept a little leaven, the next translation will give you a little more. And more subtle changes will come. Because if you can accept the one, you can accept some more and some more. See, around the turn of the century, they came out with one and then another one and then another one and then another one. Is it going to stop now? Yeah, I don't think it's going to stop. And they're coming out one now for us, leaving out the gender. You got to leave out gender. You know, where God can be, you know, it could be a him or her. And it's you got to change it. And they're doing it. They already got a Bible line like that. And there will be another Bible down the road. You know, there won't be nothing wrong with being a homosexual. Because all that, what's wrong with people loving each other? Because God says there's things to love and there's things not to love. And we could get totally sidetracked, but I'm not going to do that. Attack the work of Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's the purpose. That's in the King James. But in the NIV, the verse is not even there. That's not even in the Bible. Now, do you see anything wrong with that? Because this is an attack upon the, not just the person, but the work of Jesus Christ. What he's doing. And the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. And in the NIV, and they went to another village. Anything missing? You don't believe me? You just get an NIV. Now don't get it. I dare you just don't believe me. But anyway, every bit of this, I checked it. with the NIV. Because I want to make sure that if I tell you this is not there and this is there, that's what it says. And so I didn't have anything better to do. In the King James, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. That's a tremendous verse. But in the New American Standard Version, Christ has suffered in the flesh. Did he leave anything out? For us. That's why he did it. For us. You see, and if you can accept that, the next time they quote this thing here, they could just leave out Christ and say, he suffered in the flesh. Well, that's not much difference. That's close. And you'd be surprised how much damage can be done. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We say that every Sunday morning, don't we? The book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But now in the NASV, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Anything missing? Of Christ isn't there. Good news could be about anything. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of difference. But you see, this is an attack upon his work. Then there's an attack also upon the atonement of Christ. What he did. He came into the world down the cross to pay for our sins. So the NIV, redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The NASV, redemption, the forgiveness of sin. But the one thing that's missing is found in the King James, through his blood. In whom we have redemption, through his blood. Now, why leave that out? They do. They leave it out. You see, these are just little things, and it's not just a couple words here and there, but these words left out corrupts the truth that is there. In other words, it can give people the impression this isn't exactly what he meant or how to explain it. And next thing you know, you can think, well, how do I know what really to believe? And little by little, corrupt your mind. And to, after a while, you say, if there's all these versions, who knows what the truth is anymore? It can plant the seed of doubt in people's minds that you really can't know the truth. And the reason that we have the Word of God is so that we can know the truth. And the other is designed to cause people confusion. And I was in one church and a man used 4 or 5 different translations in his sermon. This was one, this translation, and this one here says it better over here, and this one says it better over here. And I thought, I got a King James. I know what it says right here. I don't need 5 versions to tell me what the book says. But anyway, using the right Bible will not guarantee you will go to heaven. You can say, I'm a King James man. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven just because of that. And you'll fight and die. I know people that will fight you to the death. But if you don't believe what it says, what value is it? You can go to a lot of homes and they'll have a Bible in their home. Nice, pretty, shiny Bible. The gold edges are still gilded together and they're still sticking together. And they're so proud of that Bible, that old family Bible. There's a family Bible on the table. And they never touch it, never read it, have no clue what it says. Ain't that true? It's better to open it up once in a while, and because just because you have a Bible and just because you believe this, but you don't know what it said, but I believe it, you still need to trust Christ as Savior. Although we use 7 steps in the explanation of giving the gospel, the only thing a person must do is to believe that what Christ did and what he said. And when you believe that, he gives you the free gift of everlasting life. Look up here. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. The Bible says that we have all sinned. Now, you know, I may not even quote a verse, but when I said that we have all sinned, is that true? It's still truth. That's truth. We have all sinned. When I say the wages of sin is death, now that's a verse that's in the Bible, but what if I told you the wages of sin is going to church? Now I just corrupted a truth, because what I said is not true. If you want to pay for your sins, all you have to do is come to Calvary Community Church and pay 50%. Now, what's wrong with that? Oh, yes. It's wrong. It's in error. So what I said, see, that was not true. And that truth, see, that I corrupted will not have any force. It will have no power. I must tell the truth. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God, because that's the truth of what the Word of God said. When I say that a man has to be perfect to go to heaven, I may never quote Revelation 21, 27, but I still said the truth. Did I say the truth? Heaven is perfect. And though I'm not even using a verse, I am supposed to tell the truth of the gospel, the good news of how a man can go to heaven. And God says, you cannot work your way to heaven. That phrase, you cannot work your way to heaven, I could not show you a verse that says that word for word. But I can show you verses in the Bible that says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So the truth I'm still saying. So you see, God does not want truth corrupted. Every one of us in here may tell somebody something about what God's word has said. Tell the truth. Speak the truth. Explain the truth. But now, if you have ever done this, you start over here and you tell, you know, Bob something, and he whispers and tell him, and he whispers and go like, by the time you get over here, it's changed, right? But what is your advantage? You can always go back to Bob and say, is this what you said? And he says, that is not what I said, because it changed. That's why you want something that goes all the way back that hasn't changed. And we can always go back to the scriptures. There is a manuscript, multiple manuscripts, majority text, the Textus Receptus, all the way back. So we have something that we can believe in. Now, the Bible says that we cannot save ourselves, letting this hand represent Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. Now, whether or not you can find a word in the Bible, the very verse that says, God, Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, I can use some verses and put it all together and explain that, and I can show you that. But I shortened it all up and I said the truth. This is the truth. Jesus Christ never committed a sin. Jesus Christ came into this world and he took all of our sins and paid for them on the cross. Now, there's not a verse that says it exactly the way I just told you, but that's the truth of the matter. That's the truth out of the Word of God. It's the truth that you do not corrupt. When you tell a lost man he has to turn from his sins to be saved, now what have I done? Told a lie. I told a lie. I corrupted the truth. And that lie could cause somebody not to trust Christ as their Savior because they've tried to quit their sins and they couldn't quit their sins. And if I tell them you have to promise to serve God and commit your life to Christ in order to be saved, is that the truth or is it a lie? That's a lie. That means I've corrupted the truth. This issue is so important. And there's people that will fight you over using the King James and how they're, and yet they'll stand right up and do exactly what the liberal theologians are doing, corrupting the Word of God, and don't even know they're doing it.
This is your invitation to join us for our third Sunday dinner held in the Florida Bible College of Tampa building on the Calvary Community Church campus. The dinner is a family-style covered dish dinner and a great way to showcase your favorite dish and pick up new recipes. Each month, you have the opportunity to invite your family and friends to join us for our Sunday morning service at 10:30 and then stay for our third Sunday dinner immediately following at noon. Third Sundays at Calvary Community Church, where you'll be fed spiritually and physically.
Thanks for joining us on BibleLine. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.